Good morning, everyone, and good vach. So we are on today's daf is daf mem dalet. So let's take it from the top of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Metaltelin ner chadash aval lo yashar." A person can move a brand new candle, an unused candle, but not an old candle. So we have to understand what a candle means. When the Gemara uses the word ner, it doesn't mean a candle as we use, a wax candle. Rather, ner means the kli that holds the oil, that holds the wax, but not the actual candle. So when it comes to the kli that holds the candle, metaltelin ner chadash, you could move the kli that's never been used, aval lo yashar, but an old one you cannot. What's the reason? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, metaltelin ner chadash, the very top line, she'eino mas, it's not disgusting. Meaning a used kli that was holding the candle, the oil was very disgusting. So it's a muksam achmas mias, that's if it's yashar. But if it's chadash, brand new, never used before, Rashi explains it, she'eino mas, it's not disgusting. V'chazi l'shtam shushe, that's lishtamushe, it's permitted to be used, there's a certain use for it. Lehedya, shelo dalek bo ner ma'olam, if it was never used before, and therefore it has a permissible use, and that's why it's on muksa. That's when it comes to a kli. So then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon omer, kol haneros metaltelin, chutz min haner hadolek b'shabbos. Rabbi Shimon holds that, no, there is no such thing as muksa machbas mius, even though the kli may be disgusting, may not be so usable, there is no muksa. The only time there's muksa, if it's lit, if the candle is actively lit, then there's a problem of muksa machmas iser, because there might be an iser involved. If you move a candle that's on, so you might come to extinguish it, and that's muksa machmas iser. So while the Tanakhama holds there's muksa machmas mius, Rabbi Shimon holds that there's only muksa machmas iser. So now let's talk about just for a moment a candle that we speak of, a wax candle. Is that considered muksa or not? This is actually today's all daf in practice. So there's a machlokas in the poskim. Mishnah Berurah brings it down whether or not, we know in general it's important to categorize muksa. We're going to be encountering a lot of muksa throughout the Masechta. There's something called muksa, kli shel machto le iser. It's a kli, it's an object, but its main purpose is for an iser, like a hammer. Hammer is a kli, but its main purpose is for iser. But you could use it for tzarach l'gufo, tzarach l'makomo. If the hammer's in the way, you need to sit down, or you want to use a hammer for itself to open up a nut, then you'd be allowed to. But then there's a muksa machmas gufo, where it itself is inherently usur because there's no use, like a rock. The rock is in a kli, and that's muksa machmas gufo. You can't move a rock, even the tzarach gufo or the tzarach makomo. So how does one classify a candle? Is a candle, on one hand, it's a kli, it has a use, you could light it, but although the iser, it's usur to light, but it's called a kli, it's a kli. Or would it be muksa machmas gufo? There is no heter. A hammer could be used to open up nuts, but what's a possible heter for using of a candle? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down two different deos, but he does quote in one place in the Shaar Tzion that he seems to paskin that it is muksa machmas, it's kli shel machto le'iser. And therefore, if one needs to use the kli, the candle, for something, or the candle's in the way, there would be room to makel. So what would be an example of a person using a candle for legufa? Perhaps if you're having a birthday cake for someone, and you want to put like a candle on, or multiple candles, or it's, you know, like a 16th birthday party, you want to put the number 16 candle on it, that might be a heter for tzarach legufo. Certainly a person should try to be machmir in the first place, but if there's a need of some sort, or it's strong need, there is what to rely on, that we can use a view a candle as being a kli shemalachto le'iser. And now the Gemara says, Tani Rabbanim, that metaltlin ner chadash aval lo yashan divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that's like the mission of the Tanakhama, that you can move a ner that was never used before, but an old one you can't, it's mius, it's disgusting. Rabbi Meir omer, kol haneros metaltlin chutz min haner shirliko bo b'shabbos. He holds that you can use any candle. He doesn't hold of muksa machmas mius, even though it's disgusting, you have to use it, unless it was something that was lit on Shabbos. Not that it's now lit, but if it was lit before Bein HaShemashos, there's a klal that kol iskatoi Bein HaShemashos iskatoi l'kol yom kulo, that if it was muksa during Bein HaShemashos, the onset of Shabbos, then it takes on the iser muksa the entire Shabbos, even though it's no longer lit. So once it was lit, shehid likubo, that was lit from the balance of Shabbos, it's a usur because of muksa machmas iser. Rabbi Shimon is the most maker. Rabbi Shimon omer chutz me'aner hadolek b'Shabbos, only if it's currently lit does Rabbi Shimon hold its muksa. But kafsa, if it goes out, mutil taltel, he doesn't hold just because there's muksa from the beginning of Shabbos, it does not remain muksa the rest of the Shabbos. It's only whether it's actively lit or not. So these are three different positions. And then the Braisa concludes, well, not concludes, but it says one line, which is a little bit cryptic. The Gemara is going to address who this is referring to, this line, but aval kos v'ka'ara v'ashashis, a cup, a bowl, or some type of a lantern, lo yazidim mukomam, that can't be moved at all. So we have to figure out who that's referring to, what line that's referring to. And Rashi just explains that Shashis is a kos gadol shuzachuches, like a lamp, a large lamp. So these things cannot be moved ever. So we'll leave that aside for now. Then comes along Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, mistapek min haner hakava u'min hashem hametaftef v'afilu b'shah shaner dolet. And Rabbi Eliezer takes it one step further. He says, any of the oil that dripped out, you're allowed to take oil from a candle that's extinguished, or even from oil that had dripped out, even while the candle is still lit, that is permitted. That is permitted. Rashi says, explains, since the candle is actively burning and it's going out slowly, by you taking out some of the oil to use for yourself, to dip your challah in or something, and it seems like you're making it go out earlier, it's already on its way out. Okay, so you make it go out a little earlier than it was supposed to, but you haven't extinguished something that wasn't going to be extinguished eventually, and therefore he's very, very makel with respect to kibur. So this is the brisa. So the Gemara now says, analyzing at least this last shita of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon. So we said above that Rabbi Shimon was the one who said that you could take out from an oil, it's all not muksa unless it's still lit. Rabbi Eliezer says, even when it's lit, you're allowed to take the oil, it's not muksa. So the Gemara explains how Rabbi Eliezer argues on his father, Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Tavrila Kavua Bechada. He agrees to his father Rabbi Shimon in one instance, but on another detail he argues. Savala kavua, Rabbi Eliezer holds like his father Rabbi Shimon that the bechada de lesle muksa, he doesn't hold of muksa, and that's why when it goes out, the fire goes out, it's completely permitted to take the oil. But he argues on a different account, de ilavua savar kava in lo kavalo. That the father only allows you to take the oil if the candle's already been extinguished. But if it's not extinguished, you can't take it. And the Ihu Savar, but Rabbi Eliezer himself hold that Avagav lo kava, even though it didn't go out, even though the fire didn't go out, even then you're allowed to take it from the oil from the candle. So that's the these are the different opinions. So now the Gemara wants to understand Aval Kosu Ka'arav Ashashis Lo Yazim Mukomo. When it comes to a cup of oil or a bowl or a big lantern, that you can't move from its place. So Maishna honey, why these? Meaning, this brisa seems to present that Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to take all the oil out unless the candle's lit, and with the exception if the oil is left over in a kos garish vashashis. Why does Rabbi Shimon draw the line here? What's different from this than a nair? If you could take out the oil from a nair that had been after the fire went out, so to the kos garish vashashis shouldn't be any different. So Amar Ula says, Seifa Asin Rabbi Yehuda. This line's going back on Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda said that you're allowed to use an Ner Chadash, but you can't use an Ner Yashan. And not only can you not take the oil from an Ner Yashan, but the same would hold true of a Kos V'Kar V'Shashis. You're just adding onto a list of items that you can't take. So the Gemara says, the problem with this suggestion is, Maskivla Marzutra, Ihachi, if that's the case, this is simply adding on my aval. It shouldn't say aval, but it should say v'huadin, v'chein. If Rabbi Yehuda really says you shouldn't take lo yashan, it should say lo yashan, and v'lo kos v'kar v'ashashis. Aval sounds like it's contrasting something. So this statement isn't going on Rabbi Yehuda. So El Gemara says, El Amar Marzucha Liolam Rabbi Shimon. Really, it is going Rabbi Shimon's line. It's going in the statement of Rabbi Shimon. And although Rabbi Shimon says you can take the shemen from a ner yashan that the fire went out, he says, but you can't take aval kos v'kar ashash lo yizim, yazizim imkom. Why not? So the Gemara explains, v'chi kashari Rabbi Shimon b'ner zuta. When Rabbi Shimon allowed you to take the leftover oil, it's only true of a small candle. The daita alave, because your das is on it, you're having in mind to take the oil, it's so short, so you imagine the fire is going to go out pretty soon, on Shabbos, and therefore the leftover shemen will be in mind, it won't be muksa. Avahani de mefishilo, but these that are much larger, when it comes to a ka'os, a kar vashashish, which lasts for a long time, a person's not anticipating when it's going to go out, and if it does go out on Shabbos, it wasn't part of his mind, it's maksa daito, and therefore considered muksa. So the Gemara says v'hatani, but doesn't the Braisa say Mosa Shemen Shebener v'Shebekara Aser Rabbi Shimon Matir? The clear Braisa that says not only does Rabbi Shimon allow the Shemen of a Ner, but even the Ner, the Shemen in the Ka'ara. So if we're suggesting that Rabbi Shimon says the Shemen in Ka'ara is really Aser, how could in this Braisa say the Shemen left over in a Ka'ara is Mutter? What's the status of a Ka'ara? And the Gemara says no. Hasam Ka'ara Dumi Diner, Hachya Ka'ara Dumi Dekos. The different size bowls. There, the Brisa that he allows you to have the Shemen and the Kara, that's a small bowl. That's why it says Ner v'Kara next to each other, coupled together. The Kara, that's the size of a Ner, that's very small. But when we said above Kara in the context of a Kos, in the context of a Shashish, which is larger, that's talking about a Kara Gedola, and that's where you didn't have in mind that it would go out. So the take a look for a second. An interesting Tosos, the three wide lines down, Dibur Maskil Sheba Ner, v'Sheba Kara Aser, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So the Gemara, Tosa says, "V'achar Shabbos mutter afilu Rabbi Yehuda." But after Shabbos, everyone agrees any of the oil there is mutter. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says the shemen leftover is aser on Shabbos, when Shabbos is over, there's no muks anymore. Of course, it's mutter. V'hachan amitanya, come on, this is a clear brayser later on. Gavi noy sukkah aser listapik men ad matzah yom tavachron. That you can't any of the fruits that you're hanging in the sukkah as decorations, it's all muksa machmas mitzvah, different type of muksa. And you can't eat the apples and stuff hanging from the decorations, but when Yom Tov Achron is over, after sukkah is all over, about basar hachi shari, then certainly it's permitted. So it's whenever Shabbos is over, whenever sukkah is over, muksa ends. So kashalari, demaishna miner chanukah. Why is this different from miner chanukah? The Tanya, kava lerishon, most of a love bilel beis. So let's say your first night of Chanukah, your candle goes out. So whatever's left over, you just add the oil to the leftover from the previous night and light it. And then umalik bo kavalel shmini. But the eighth day ends. The eighth day, all the fires go out, and you have leftover oil. What should you do? Oselo medura bifnei atza mifnei atmo bifnei shehuksa the mitzvah. So you should make a big fire and burn the rest of the oil. Somehow the practice of leaving the oil until Pesach, Erev Pesach, I'm burning with the chametz. But either way, you have to burn the rest of it. So why is that the case? By every other muksa, we say, when the Yontif is over, when the Shabbos is over, you're allowed to benefit from the oil. But Chanukah, we say, oh, you can't benefit from the oil, you have to burn the leftover oil. Why is that different? So Tosus answers, V'omari, Diner Chanukah, Ikaro, Lo L'Hanasaba, Ela L'Firsumi Nisa. The whole purpose of Chanukah, Ner Chanukah, is not to enjoy it, not to benefit from it, rather it's to be used to publicize the miracle, the Pirsumanisa. Umishum chavivusa, because it's so dear to us, Pirsumanisa is so special to us, denes, enum etzapa shiichba, a person not waiting until when it ends, until when you can use it, ella, maksil gami la mitzvah. The person says, I'm dedicating all the oil for the mitzvah. When it comes to the purpose of the shemen for Shabbos, you're benefiting from it and you're anticipating when the leftover is usable. When it comes to noy sukkah, you're looking forward for when it's over so you can eat from it. When it comes to Ner Chanukah, you don't look for it to be over. You're enjoying it so much, you want to have all of it dedicated to the mitzvah. And for that reason, you have to, it's still muksa even after Chanukah is over. Aval, with respect to Ner Shabbos, l'hanasa, it's meant to enjoy. You're supposed to use the Ner Shabbos for your own benefit, to be able to see and to read. And Shalom Bayis, b'yoshiv u'metapa sheyich, a person waits to when it's going to go out, for l'chach mutter, and therefore it's permissible. So back inside the Gemara now, with the last two narrow lines here in Mem Dalet Amun Alpha. Gemara says, Amr Bezerah, Pamet. A Pamet is a type of menorah. Rashi says, a menorah shel matechas, a metal menorah, veina mu'usa. It doesn't get disgusting. After it gets used, it doesn't get disgusting. It's very reusable. There's a machlokas in the Achronim when he's referring to a big menorah or a small menorah, but it doesn't make so much difference for understanding the Pshat, the Gemara here. So the Gemara says, Amr Bezerah, Pamet, shel liku bo b'Shabbos, a menorah that was lit on Shabbos, ledivrei ha-matir oser, ledivrei oser mutter. So what's going on here? So there's a machlokas, Rashi Tosas. We're going to just look at Shitas Tosas. Rashi says, around halfway up the narrow lines of Rashi, ledivrei ha-matir, Rabbi Meir, ha-matir b'ner yashin. Rabbi Meir permitted you to use an old used candle. He doesn't hold a muksa machmas mias. There is no muksa by something disgusting. You're allowed to use an old ner. Here, Oser, behind the Muksa Machmas Isser, here is Muksa Machmas Isser, where he agrees there is an Isser, Kedekatani Le'el, Chutz Mina Ner Shir Liku Boba Shabbos. So since this candle was lit on Shabbos, even though by a Ner Yasham, where there's only Muksa Machmas Mias, he thinks is Mutter, but when it's a candle that's been used, even though there's no Muksa Machmas Mias, it would be Aser, because it's Muksa Machmas Isser. And the flip side, the Divir Oser Mutter, so Rashi explains, the Divir Oser, the one who asers Rabbi Huda, Ha'oser B'ner Yashon Shecheres, when he says you can't use an old candle holder, hasam hu demais, because it's disgusting there. Muksa machmas mias. About Hachashar, here it permits it by the menorah because less than Muksa Machmas Isser, because there's no, he doesn't hold a Muksa Machmas Isser. He only holds a Muksa Machmas Mias. And since the pomet, like Rashi explains, doesn't get disgusting, you would be allowed to use this on Shabbos. This would not be subject to Muksa. So what comes out from here is some hold a Muksa Machmas Isser only, and not Muksa Machmas Mias, and others hold the Muksa Machmas Mias, but not of Muksa Machmas Isser. So the Gemara says, we halacha maisa hold of both them, that the both muksa machmas mias and muksa machmas iser are both problems. So the Gemara now says, we are the first wide line down in Mem Dalad Amun Aleph here, lememra, is this to suggest, to be huda muksa machmas mias islay, muksa machmas iser lesay? Are you trying to suggest, Rabbi Yehuda only holds of muksa machmas mias, only that which is disgusting is muksa, but that which is subject in iser, he doesn't hold of? Va'atanya, doesn't the Braisa clearly state, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol aneros, shematechas, metaltalin, chutz me'aner, shalika bo b'Shabbos. He himself holds that all candles are movable with the exception of that which was lit on Shabbos, which is, in other words, another way of saying muksa machmas iser is a problem to Rabbi Yehuda. So Ella the Gemara tweaks the initial statement by the Pummet and says, Yidmar Hachidmar. If you want to say a statement by a Pummet in the name of Rabbi Zeira, it should be said as follows. That Amr Rabbi Zeira, Pummet Shaliko Allah B'Shabbos, Divyakol Aser. If it was lit on Shabbos, everyone holds a Muksa Machmas Iser. The only discussion is, Lord Likolav, if it was never lit, Divyakol Mutter, that too isn't a discussion because everyone holds, since it wasn't lit, it's only a question of Muksa Machmas Mias. But since that the menorah doesn't get disgusting, everyone agreed it wouldn't be muksa. So that is a clear statement from Rabbi Zeir. Last two lines of the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Mita, Sheyachta Lemos, Aser Letaltla. If you have a bed that was designated for placing candles, it's going to be Aser. Rashi explains, Sheyachta Lemos, Mitasra Bahazman of Amma, by you simply designating this bed for the purpose of holding your coins, your money, even though you've never used it before, Hazmana is sufficient to designate this as a Davar Muksa. And look at the last toast on the page here. He says, Mita Sheyachta Lemos, Aser Letaltla. You can't move such a bed. Even if you want to move the bed to use the bed for something else, or you need the place of the bed, it's aser. Once you've designated this for the purpose exclusively of, for the purpose of money, then it's like trumpets, the aser, the talta, you can't move it, even even though normally the klisha l'malachta l'isra, like a hammer, which main purpose is for hammering, but if you need it, l'tzarach gufa, or l'tzarach makom, you're allowed to. Here Tosa says, if you designate it, and it's for specifically for, exclusively for particular use, that would be a way of saying that this would be a also to use l'tzarach gufa, or l'tzarach makom. So the Gemara says, okay, so after establishing that one is mazmin, one designates something for a purpose of a davar muksa, that alone makes it muksa, even though it hasn't been used for the money yet. Asks the Gemara, Meisive Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Metaltel Ner Chadash Aval Lo Yashem. You can move a new candle holder, but not an old candle holder. So Rashi points out, what's the question? So Metaltel Ner Chadash V'Har Rabbi Yehuda Kamerle, Dislay Muksa, he holds a muksa. Alma Lo Metaser Bazmana, Mitkamer Aval Lo Yashan, Lo Katani Aval Lo Miuchalachach. That he says, you can't use an old one, a one that was used already. But what if it wasn't used? What if you simply designated it for the use of a candle? Shouldn't that be alone to make a muksa? Just like I designated the mita for the maus that makes a muksa, if I dedicate a candle holder for a candle, that should also make it aser. Why only when it was actually used? So you see from here, hazmana ba'alma is not hazmana, it's only when it was actually used. And the Gemara goes on to Mem Dalam and Beis, Umaner Delahachi Avidi. And not only that, not only is it about designation, but a candle holder is made for the exclusive purpose of holding candles. So maner dilahachi avidi, it's made for this purpose. But kilohalik bay shalit tutule. But as long as it hasn't been used, you're allowed to move it. But mita dilahachi avidi, beds are not made for coins. Though koloshkin certainly hazmana shouldn't work. So again, if hazmana doesn't work by a candle whose purpose was for a candle holder, which purpose was for a candle, certainly hazmana shouldn't be effective on a mita whose purpose was not to be used to hold money. So the Gemara says, Ela itmar hachidmar. If you want to say it, it should be said as follows. That Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Mita, Shiyachta Lemos, and also Heniach Lemos, Asa Letaltala. If it was designated, and also someone used it for money, then it's going to be us, it's going to be Muksa. But Lo Yachta Lemos, But if you designated it, but you didn't place money on it, that won't be effective. Hazman ala milsi. Has to only be when you use it. Lo niach ala maos, mutter letaltala. Then it says, lo yacht ala maos, if you didn't designate it, and yesh ala maos, and there's money on it, then also letaltala. You also can't move it. If there's money on it, it becomes a basis. Ein ala maos, mutter letaltala. And if there is no money on it, then you're allowed to. Meaning it has nothing to do with hazmana or not hazmana. Has to do whether there or not there's money actively on it or not. It has to be when there wasn't any money in Benishmashos. But if there's money during Benishmashos, and then later on it fell off somehow, that is muksa the whole Shabbos, because we have something that's a basis. Benishmashos remains a basis that holds something muksa the entire Shabbos as long as it was there, Benishmashos, even though it was removed after the fact. We see from here, it doesn't depend on Hazmana, it depends on whether or not there's money there or not money there at the time. So taking a look at Tosos, Dir Maschel Yeshale Maos, also the Talta. If there's money on it, you can't move the mita. So akarchach b'miniach ayri. Only when you place it there knowingly, that you place the money there knowing that the money was on the bed. But the b'shachach, because with regards to forgetting it, time we have a mission of a perikanot daf kuf memez minar hakar ve'noflos. If the money was forgotten on the bed, you could just shake off the pillow, shake off the mattress, and it's fine. Uvemini. So it has to be when you put it on knowingly. Like we saw in the Gemara, that only placing it down knowingly has to be mibodion before Shabbos begins. Beneshmashos must be there, all beneshmashos. Fine. Then the Tosa says, "V'kasha the eich yachal liyos sheminiach ladas b'Shabbos." How could it be that a person places it on b'das b'Shabbos? How could there be other way? Meaning, it has to be. What's the havamina? What's a havamina that has to be mevodiyom? When could there be a case where it's placed on Shabbos itself? You can't move money. So the only case you could think of is if the money was placed mevodiyom. Because, again, I can't put money on Shabbos. And Tosa says, no, there could be a case. V'yeshlomo could go into Sheniach Nochri, Otinek L'das Yisrael. If a non-Jew or a child placed money there with the Das Yisrael on Shabbos, that will not render a basis. It's only a basis if the money was there during Bein Hashmashos. Fine. So back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says as follows. Amar Ula. Ula says, Meisiv Rabbi Eliezer, Mukhni Shalas. What's Mukhni? Mukhni is a Hebrew word. Mukhni is like a machine, mechanics. So what's Mukhni? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mukhni Shalat, four narrow lines down in Rashi, Mukhni Shalat. Gave Sheda, it's a type of Rashi explain, I guess, the Tzam Maseches Kelim, fi Agola, Shal Eitz Mukafas Mechitos, the Merkav Anashim Anashim. It's a little wagon that's meant to carry men and women, pulled by donkeys or horse or whatever is carrying them. It's a type of teva, type of agala, wagon. Tosus argues and says, no, it's a wagon that's meant to hold kalim, not meant to hold people. Either way, it's some type of wagon. And the mukhni rashi is the ofan, the wheels of it. So the wheels, the machinery, so the wheels, the back inside the Gemara now, so we have the wheels of this wagon. So Amar Ula, Ula says, Mesiv Rabbi Elazar, Mukhni Shalah, the wheels of this wagon, Bismanshi Nishmetis, when it's not connected, so Rashi says, Bismanshi Nishmetis, Kein Ufani Agala Shalom Shadam Yachal Asalka Mina Agala. So Rashi understands here, not that when the wheels are actually detached, but even when they're attached, the wheels are detachable, and we view them as being separate. If the wheels were made in such a way where it's mamish built into the wagon, it might be a different story. But since oftentimes the wheels are something that is easily detachable, so we view it as separate from the wagon itself. What's the relevance? So the Gemara says again, Mukhni shala, the machinery, the wheels of it, bizmanshi nishmetes, when it's able to be removed, ein chibrula, it's not considered connected. I'll read just the, it's not chibrula, which means it's considered, Rashi says, the wheel is viewed as a separate kli than the teva itself, than the shade itself. If the shade is subject to tumah, that can't hold 40. So we have to understand something for a moment, that things that are attached to ground can become tameh. House is not tameh. Kalim are tameh. Movable objects are tameh. But if the object is so heavy, so big, even then it has a certain level of a karka. So ovens are attached to the ground. They're so heavy, so the din is that they don't become a kabbal tumah. You don't have to be tovel, for example, ovens. They're not the kalim. So when a keli is so big that's able to hold, in theory, 40 saw of water in it, that means it's big enough, that's not called a movable object anymore. And nitma, back in Tairashi, nitma hasheda, lo nitma hamuchni. So So if it's not machzek is mem, let's say it doesn't hold 40 sats, smaller than that. So it's subject to tumah. So if the wagon is makabel tumah, just because it's makabel tumah, the shade is makabel tumah, lo nitmeh muchni, the machinery, the wheels are not makabel tumah because they're considered separate kalim. Vilabas kibula tumah, if the shade is not subject to tumah, meaning it's so big, it's not a kli anymore, v'naga tumah b'muchni, and something tamei, sheretz or something touches the wheel, ha'muchni tamei la'atma, only the wheel is tamei, delo chashiv m'sheda, it's not part of the shade. So that's one halacha. In terms of being makabel tumah, they don't affect each other. Second halacha, the Gemara says, ein chibur lava, ein nimdedes ima, it's not measured with it. With respect to measuring, we said that if the object is so big, it's 40, could hold 40 saw, it's not a kli anymore. And so now what happens if it's 39, only holds 39 sa? If you were to add the wheel with it, it would be considered big enough to hold 40 sa. We don't measure the mukhni as part of the measurement of the wagon. It's completely separate. The third halacha, says the Gemara, vein matzels ima ba'ol ha-meis. It's not protected with respect to ol ha-meis. So what's this case? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, vein matzels ima ba'ol ha-meis, dima shed machzek is memsa. It's able to hold 40 sa, which means it's not clean anymore. Deina makabels tuma, it can't be makabel tuma, matzels ba'ol ha-meis, it's v'havi ol ha-atma, it's considered its own ohel. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains what it's not first. V'lo shenichnes le-bayis sha-meis bo. It's not when you bring the wagon inside a house where there's a mace as well. Dim kein ein kan hatala. That doesn't protect it. Sharei hagag mal altaros milamal. If the wagon's holding some objects inside, even though the wagon itself is huge and it's not a clean, since it's roofed by the house with a mace, all the taros that are in there will become tame. So that's not the case here. It's not entering into a bias that has a mace in it. What's the case, says Rashi? Kagon shenichnes al beis ha-kfaros. It goes into a cemetery. Kedamrinam be'eruvin. Rabbi Yehuda omer af be'beis ha-kfaros. Mimnei she'yachal l'chutz b'sheda tiva migdal. A person's walking in a move. He's going through the beis ha-kfaros, moving. He doesn't stop. He doesn't remain stationary. He just continues to walk in some type of wagon. So the Gemara goes on to say, Rashi says, the kasavar ol zarek kolomer ol ha-metaltil shme'ol. A movable ol does protect him. So not where he has a roof on top in the beis ha-kfaros. If there's a roof on top, like a bias, so then the tumah gets inside. But let's say there's a roof, but serving as it's in a beis ha-kfaros, it's surrounding the taros inside. If it's movable, ol zarek, and moving ol does serve the function of an ol itself and will protect from the surrounding tumah, umafsik klapia tumah, it stops the tumah from coming in. Vamuchni im higavah midufne asheda. Let's say the muchni, the wheels are very big and they're larger. They end up being on top, than the ground. But the big wheels, where the top of the wheel is higher than the wall of the actual wagon. So the kalim bolted milamala, and the kalim are now protruding above midufne asheda, above the walls of the sheda. But govni muchni magnalem, but the walls of the wheel is higher than it. So again, you have to imagine this is hard. I can't explain. I can explain it, but I can't tell you. I can't show you, obviously. So again, you have this wagon where, let's say, you have a bottle. So the bottle protrudes above the wall of the sheda, but the wheels are so big, the wheel goes on top of the bottle. So the din is, do the wheels protect it? Do the wheels serve as the wall, as an oil, to protect it from the tumah that's around it? And the din is, based on this mishnah, that ein matzilin, it doesn't protect it. The mochni kli hu la'atma, the mochni, the wheels are considered a separate kli, u'makabal tumah, veino chotis b'fnei ha'tumah, it doesn't serve to block the tumah from entering into the shade. So these are the few halachas. And back inside the Gemara now, and the most relevant one for us, vein gordin oso b'shabes, bizman sheish alemos. So, but you can't move it when there's mouse and when there's money in it. When there's money in the wagon, you're not allowed to schlep it. So the Gemara says, I lost the place 1 second here. Again, vein governo subashabas mizan sheisha la mouse. You can't drag it when there's money on it. Ha ain't a la mouse, sure, but if there is no money, you're allowed to. The alpha gab the habi la bin ashmashis. Even though the Gemara is implying and inferring from this that even though there may have been money in the wagon from before Shabbos, if there's no money on it right now, you'd be allowed to. So you see from here that we don't go based on the money being there, bein hashmashos, or not being there, bein hashmashos. And the Gemara says, no, hahi Rabbi Shimon hi, delesle muksa. This Mishnah in Maseches Kehillin is going to corner Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold a muksa. Rashi says, hahi Rabbi Shimon hi, umi umos lochazi midi, umodi Rabbi Shimon da'odin ala asa. If it's on it, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it would be muksa. But once the money's off it, even though it may have been present there, banish mashos, he would hold it. It wouldn't render it muksa. So the Gemara then says, last line of Mem Dalam Bezer, Rav, could be Huda Sphere Light. And Rav, hold a Kubi Huda, who does hold of muksa. And he would say, therefore, above, that if the bed had above, we had the mita, that mita had a maos on it, ben ashmashos, and even though the money may not be on it later on, it would be muksa the entire Shabbos. So while the mission kalim is like Rabbi Shimon, that if there's no muksa on it now, even though there may have been muksa ben ashmashos, it's mutter now, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is muksa, and once it was there ben ashmashos, it would be muksa all of Shabbos as well. So Gemara just says, we'll read a few lines now in Daf Mem Pei. The Gemara says, Hachan Ami Mestaver, Rav could be Yehuda's Sirele. It's also very sensible to say that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that there is such a thing as a muksa, because it says, "The Amar Rav Menichin Ner Agabi Deko B'Shabbos Vein Menichin Ner Agabi Deko B'Yamtov." You can place a candle on a tree on Shabbos, but you can't place a candle on a tree on Yom Tov. What's the difference? So, Yamis Bishma Rav Rabbi Yehuda Sirlei Haynu Deshani Ben Shabbos L'Yom Tov. If he holds of muksa, Rabbi Yehuda only holds of muksa on Shabbos, but no muksa on Yom Tov. And therefore, when you place a ner on ner Shabbos on a tree, when it goes out, a guy's not going to try to climb the tree because it's muksa. So there's no concern. But Yom Tov, where there's no muksa, so when the candle goes out, the guy's like, oh, the candle's out, let me go get it. He might climb the tree, and therefore, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it must be Rav holding Rabbi Yehuda of there being muksa on Shabbos. But Eli Yamas, if you hold the Rav hold Ki Rabbi Shimon, that there's no muksa, Mali Shabbos, Mali Yom Tov. What's the difference Shabbos and Yom Tov? There's no muksa at all. And you shouldn't be allowed to light on a deckle either way, because since there's muksa, when it goes out, the guy might want to get the nair and climb the tree, and therefore it should be gzera, never to light on the tree. So, Mirat Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.